Great to see you all. Not so many as last week, but you're all looking good and well and beautiful as normal. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. God's speaking about you. Isn't that wonderful? God is speaking about you. And it is time to arise and shine. We're living in days that are seeing much trouble and tribulation, much worry and anxiety. We're living in days when we don't quite know what's going to happen next. And we're going into places where we've never been before. And God is taking the church into situations that we have no history about. And we're going to have to respond to him in that way. And I've got a prophetic word for you this morning. I think it's really for now. It's challenging, but I'm always challenging. I've been 50 years now in the faith, and I don't know how much time I've got left, so I'm not mincing my words anymore. I say it as it is, as I see it. And if you don't like it, read the Bible. Good. Got that straight. Anybody agree we are actually living in the last days? Even people who are not Christians are saying that. How long is this earth going to keep going with all the climate change and all the stuff that's happening? But we have prophetic signs in the Bible that indicate progressively that the prophets have said and have spoken, and we're living in those days. And we haven't got a time, because we're not Jehovah's Witnesses, but the end time is coming. Jesus is getting ready to come back for his beloved church. Hallelujah. And if you read 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter gives some things that are going to happen in the last times. He talks about false prophets and stuff like that. And his main thrust in that passage, in verse 11, is what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If we really believe it's the last times, that should affect the way we live. Amen? It's time to make choices and make priorities. Because if this is really the end, then we should be living as free, saved, spirit-filled people with a heart for change, for a heart for people and the world. And we need to take note of how we live. And then in verse 3 and onwards, he gives examples of things that will be happening in the last days. In verse 3, he says, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. This was a few years after Jesus' death. And the apostles and the teaching of Jesus pointed to the fact that he was going to come back. Soon, immediately. And they took that literally. And so you had these scoffers coming a few years after, saying, well, where is he then? You know, you've been telling us this. Can't be true. Where is it? And Peter points them to the prophets, and he points them to the fact that 1,000 years to God is like one day, and it's not about time, it's about truth. And I want to address the fact today that we've got scoffers. Amen. I think we're living in a crucial day for Christians and the church. We are facing a fierce battle for our voices. The enemy is trying to shut our mouths, because he doesn't want us speaking the truth of God's word. See, Christians all over the world, and especially in this nation now, there is pressure on those who speak out. Yeah? You see it in the media and all around you. Christians are being mocked, ridiculed for their faith. A minority of anti-God secular groups are taking our nation further and further away from any biblical viewpoint. It's happening before your eyes. You've only got to see the newspapers. Now, we ought to be living in a way that somehow counters that. Because he's warned us, this is what will happen. We don't sit back and be silent and say nothing. They are trying to shut the mouths of Christians speaking truth. See, many of us in the church and the church itself is afraid to speak out because the media controls the thoughts of society in general. And we are accused, if we speak, of being ignorant, intolerant, bigoted, living in the past, and in some cases, people are being prosecuted because they've spoken out against the liberal left. You understand what I'm saying? I'll probably be put into prison because of this sermon, if certain people get hold of it. But that's the truth. Anybody recognize that? We are being marginalized. Wake up. Arise. Shine. If there's ever a time for us to speak, it's now. In the meantime, marriage, sexuality, what we teach our children, and many other moral issues are being redefined by a loud liberal minority. Do you understand that? Our whole morality is being redefined. Not by the majority, like me and you who tend to keep quiet, but people who have loud voices. And the louder the voice, it seems, the more power they obtain. It's face-off time with the prophets of Baal. Do you realize that? It's face-off time. The time is now. But we have two powerful weapons against scoffers. Hallelujah. They both begin with D, and they both use your mouth. The first is something called declaration. Declaration. It's a time for us to speak. I'm going to give you a little bit of a Greek lesson now. Okay, and not Greek, sorry, Hebrew. Okay. Now, if you're into numbers, Hebrew, learn Hebrew. It's so rich in numbers. Do you know the longest psalm in the Bible is Psalm 119? Every number of the verses has a different meaning. And each number of the verse relates to the verse that follows. It's fantastic if you read the Hebrew. Such richness in that language. Now, the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is something called Pei, P-E-Y. The 17th letter means victorious speech. Victorious speech. The letter itself is like a mouth. It's a circle with a gap, and it's either like a mouth or a womb. And there's a little dot in the middle. And in the Greek, in the Hebrew calendar, it's the year 5780. It's a decade of victorious speech. The dot symbolizes a seed in the womb, or a seed in your mouth. This is a season when God will fill our mouths with a seed word. Amen? And it all adds up with the timing of all of this as we enter a new decade. Amen. It's the year 2020. 2020 is perfect vision. This is a year when God is going to show you prophetically, very clearly, what he's up to. We're going to see more than we've ever seen before. 2020. And as we see, in the Hebrew, it's a time to speak. And we speak what we see. And it's the seed word of life. Of the gospel. Of the kingdom. And so, although you might be afraid of the scoffers, it's time to arise and speak. Let the majority speak the truth. So the word declare, it means making known what God has done in your lives. Amen. Making known what we have already received and seen. To remind, to declare forth, to tell, to present, to make known, to proclaim and publish. 1 Chronicles 16:24, it says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonder among the peoples. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim, declare, in the Hebrew, the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know what comes out of your mouth is powerful? James tells us that. The tongue has power for negative and positive. It's time to be declaring what God has done in your lives and giving thanks for it. That will silence the scoffers. They might be able to argue theologically the scriptures if they're intelligent enough. But no one can argue about a living testimony that you have experienced, that God has done in your life. No one can refute that. But how many of us are speaking those things out? Doesn't have to be big things. Small things. Every day. Every one of you has a story to tell. Amen? Hello? Yes, yes, yes. If you've really come to God, you've all got a story to tell. Hallelujah. And you've got a story to tell every day. Yes. Of His goodness. Right. Of His love. Of how He intervenes. Right. Come on, write some books, you lot. I know Roger is. Write it down. Write your stories. Speak your stories. I tell you what, people out there want to hear. Yeah, they don't want to hear the scoffers. Yeah. They want to hear you. Because you've got something to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, our testimonies of what God has done with us personally has tremendous creative power and cannot be disproved by any scoffers. We all have a wonderful creative story to tell. So you read in Revelation 12, verse 11, what overcame the devil? And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. We heard a testimony last week. Many people have been touched by that. I still believe many will come to Christ because of that. You don't know what you're starting, what fire you're lighting when you bother to speak out what God has done for you. Use every conversation. Use every opportunity, but speak. Speak. You don't have to get into arguments with anyone. Just tell them what God's done for you. If they don't believe it, that's up to them. But tell it, because it's true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what about an even more powerful D? An even more powerful D is the word decree. 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 When we decree something, we cause the truths of heaven to be manifest in the natural realm so that they become the new reality. The definition of decree, it's an order from one who has authority, an edict or law, a dogma or diktat, a statement of truth that comes with the authority of a court order. A decree is what God has said will happen and what He is going to do. And it has the authority of heaven behind it, and it happens. Yeah. 2020 vision. We're going to get a clear picture of what God is saying. We've got a clear picture of what He says in the Word. You can decree things from this book that are the truth. You can decree things that God tells you as a decree, as an edict, with authority from heaven. if you're sure it's from him. That's why Jesus never prayed for anyone who was sick. You won't find it. What he did is that he decreed. See, he only did what he saw the Father doing. So when he saw a sick person, he said, "Father, be healed." Heard, decreed. Simples.
That's right.
Just make sure you're here.
Yeah.
All right? Because you can't decree something you haven't heard. Because it hasn't got the authority. So you have to be careful not to give people false hope. But if you've heard it, you can confidently decree it. And it's got power. Hallelujah. Job 22:28, "You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you." What happens when we decree? We speak God's blessing in our lives. We initiate the very will and purpose of God. God tells us what he wants to do. We decree it, it happens. God uses us to bring about his will and purpose. But most of all, we separate and destroy the plans of the enemy. It kills the scoffers. Tremendous power in words. Tremendous power. See, decreeing and declaring work together. We decree God's goodness. Faith rises in our hearts. Expectancy increases. We get closer to God because of what he's doing in our lives. We get intimate with him. Therefore, we hear his voice more clearly. And then we're in the position to receive decrees. One follows the other. Amen? So the more you declare God's goodness and speak it out, that does something for your faith, doesn't it? When you testify about what God has done, something happens in you.
Amen.
It brings you closer and you begin to hear him more clearly. And then you can hear what he's decreeing on the earth. And you can join in. Okay, let me give you some examples. Very, very quickly. Testimonies. 14 years ago, I had a liver transplant. And I was very near to death. And Leslie and others were praying. And they were absolutely convinced that this liver was the right liver for me. But then there were some complications, and they were talking about having to do another transplant. And we knew that wasn't right. Or she knew that wasn't right. My sons, because they loved me, they were saying, "Well, Dad, you have to have another one if, you know, if it saves your life." Leslie was saying, "No! No, this is the one. This is what God has said." And so I began to do something. I began speaking to my liver. Every day, I say, "Good morning, liver. You're feeling good today. You're working well today. Everything is flowing good in you today. You're working today 100%. And you are healthy and well. And I did that for months. I'm still here. Amen? When you hear, you decree. When you hear, you decree. Hallelujah. Cancer. I had cancer in my mouth 3 years ago. Ignite prayer meeting. A lady we've never seen before, we've not seen her since. She came into this building, and afterwards she looked at me and said, I've got a word for you. Psalm 118, verse 17. I mean, they said this cancer was, you know, it was serious. It was terminal. And she gave me Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That was a week before I went into hospital. I spoke it. Every day, several times a day, I'm here. It's the power of God's decree. Hallelujah. We've got a friend called Rachel Hickson. She had a terrible accident in Africa. She was brain dead in a coma. No one ever thought she would live. An African lady came in and collected a whole lot of healing tapes, messages, verses, put them on a tape, plugged it into her ear, and played it. And she sat by her bed for days, turning it over continuously. And the doctor, she was going to stop, and the doctor said, no, don't do that, because when you stop to turn it over, her brain flat lines again. When you put the tape back on, there's activity. Alan Vincent, famous preacher, came from England, walked into her room and declared that same verse, Psalm 118, I shall not die, you shall live to proclaim the Lord. She's travelling around the world now, preaching as strong as ever. Hallelujah. Chris Wickland, just down the road, you've heard his testimony on Facebook. Died of a heart attack, 15 minutes, dead. They thought he had permanent brain damage. His wife sat by his bed and read scriptures, healing scriptures, every day, all night. He's totally fine. He's preaching here 3 weeks' time in the evening. The power of decree. Now you may think, well, that's okay for them. But we've got a living testimony here today. And he's going to share it with us. Those of you who've known Steve and Naomi, they've gone through a real fierce battle with cancer. Amen. But have you ever seen Steve moaning and grumbling? Every time he's come, he's been positive. He's testified of the goodness of God. He's been declaring God's goodness from day one. Come to us. You've got a mic. You've got a mic. It's behind me.
Everyone can hear me, okay? Okay. I try and keep this short and sweet. Most of you know I can talk the hind legs off of a donkey, so I will try and keep this short and sweet. I originally thought my first testimony, if I can say it right, was meeting my wife, my now wife. I thought she was the reason originally, but God has actually given me a second testimony to share with you. And as Peter's just said, June 19 last year, I was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma, which is cancer of the neck. And that rapidly moved into my gland here, which I was then obviously on a journey. I obviously went to the hospital, as this was all confirmed. So I was then on a journey, which involved radical chemotherapy. Wasn't the greatest of journeys, to be honest with you, but what came to my heart as you were speaking today was 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. So I know since then all of you have been praying for me, my family have been praying, another church that I used to go to have all been praying. So at no point, I would also like to add, at no point during the whole of this journey have I feared cancer. Have I felt any need to worry? I've had the absolute peace of the Holy Spirit with me the whole of the time, and that itself is something I'd like to declare. But I do have some good news for you, and that is Tuesday before last, I received the results from the scan, and the tumor, which was rather a large tumor in my neck, has completely disappeared. Amen. And they could find no signs of cancer whatsoever, which I think can let me know that not only I, but all my Christian brothers and sisters are in good hands when we put our faith in the Lord, for sure. So, thank you.
We're going to decree over Steve this morning. He's declared his testimony. We're going to decree he's going to stay cancer free.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's God's authority word. Amen?
Amen.
Stand up. Stretch your hands out to him. Let's declare it. Father, we decree with the authority of heaven, because you are the great healer, that Steve will remain cancer free, that no cancer cell will ever be able to live in his body. And Father, he will go from strength to strength. And Lord, he will be preaching for you and seeing people come to you as a sign of your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Bless you, mate. Stay standing. Some of you may have some things you'd like to decree in your life. Promises that God's given you, he wants you to remind you of them right now and begin to speak. Amen? You just do that now, just where you are. If God's given you a promise and you know it's from him and he's spoken it to you, then decree it. Say, yes, Lord, this is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I believe we can all declare God's been good to us. Hasn't he? Hasn't he? He's been good to us. And so we're going to end with hopefully a thankful praise song where you can remind yourselves and declare God's goodness. Father, I declare God's goodness over this wonderful people. I declare that you will continually bless their lives day by day, that you would open their eyes. Lord, that you would open their mouths. Lord, that they may be the ones to turn the scoffers around. That, Lord, the things that we're being forced to shut up and not say, give us the boldness to speak. Lord, to speak your testimony that cannot be denied. Father, we pray for every Christian in this nation. We pray against all fear, all bowing down and cowering down out of fear, fearing to speak, fearing to share. God, take it away. Give your people boldness to speak, boldness to open their mouths. And Lord, this church, I just ask you, Lord, that we may be pioneers in declaration and decreeing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.